The golden age of radio is on the air. Morehead State Public Radio presents classic old-time radio programs from radio's golden age, the 1930s through the 1950s. On this program of the golden age of radio, an exciting adventure with Tarzan, Lord of the Jungle, and laugh along with a classic episode of My Friend Irma. Stay tuned for the golden age of radio after today's news from NPR on WMKY at 90.3 FM. Welcome back to the Golden Age of Radio on WMKY at 90.3 FM. Later on today's show, planning for a charity ball on an episode of My Friend Irma. Right now, an exciting adventure with Tarzan and the Black Ivory as WMKY presents the Golden Age of Radio.
From the heart of the jungle comes a savage cry of victory. This is Tarzan, Lord of the Jungle. From the black core of dark Africa, land of enchantment, mystery, and violence, comes one of the most colorful figures of all time. Transcribed from the immortal pen of Edgar Rice Burroughs, Tarzan, the bronzed white son of the jungle. And now, in the very words of Mr. Burroughs, the story of Tarzan and Black Ivory.
Stories about the Marwa tribe had drawn Tarzan to the far mountain country, where, according to the legend of the lowland, there lived a super race. The people had been described as 7 feet in height, and it was said that they could wrestle with Sheeta, the panther, outrun Bara, the deer, and bend a young tree for a bow. The legend proved an exaggeration, but Tarzan did find the Marwa people exceedingly tall and handsome and strong. None possessed more of these jungle attributes than Velda, the dusky, dark-eyed daughter of the chief.
I'll catch you, all right. Watch out. Here I come. So I couldn't catch you, eh?
Tarzan. Tarzan, help Velda. Onto a rock.
All right. There you are. Oh. Well, then, do you admit that I can swim faster than you?
Tarzan swim faster and run better than any Marwa. And that is why my father, the chief, make Tarzan son of tribe.
I'm happy about that, Velda. For I've never known any tribe as brave as yours. As ours.
Never before have Marwa take stranger as son. And this only because Tarzan is mighty hunter and fisher.
Well, if I'm a good fisherman, I better take these fish I speared back to the camp and clean them.
Oh, no. No, Tarzan must not.
What?
Oh, that is job for Tarzan's woman.
Tarzan's woman? Oh, now, wait a minute, Velda. Oh,
does not Tarzan like Velda?
Of course I like you.
And is not Velda beautiful in Tarzan's eyes?
I think you're as lovely as the blossoms of the jungle acacia. But you are the promised one of Kalo.
Oh, no more. Not since Night Tarzan bested Kalo in wrestling contest. No, only Tarzan can marry daughter of chief of great Marwa tribe. When Goro the moon comes to fullness again, Velda will become Tarzan's slave forever.
I don't like that word slave, Velda. You'll never be any man's slave, not mine nor anyone else's, so long as I have strength with which to fight.
The reputation of the great Marwa tribe had spread even so far as Port Said on the edge of the distant Mediterranean. There, in a ramshackle building on a narrow side street, a man in the flowing robes of the Bedouin thought about these great strong people as he waited for a caller.
Enter.
Yeah, I can hardly see. That you, Ajib?
It is indeed, Captain Marco. Ajib Ben Zaman bids you enter and close the door.
Okay.
Come near to me, mighty captain of the sea.
You're going to hold that mighty captain of the sea business and tell me what all this mystery's about.
I know of no mystery, my worthy captain.
Not much you don't. Sending one of those Hawkeye messengers to my ship and making me meet you here in this part of town. What do you want?
Your tongue is sharp, friend, for one whose ship cannot find cargo among the reputable merchants of Port Said.
All right, so you found out I'm broke. So what?
Ajib Ben Zaman wishes but to improve the fortunes of his friend. I know of rich cargo for your ship to carry to distant ports.
The kind of cargo you ship is too risky.
Ah, but this time it is neither the seed of the poppy nor the guns our government has elected to term contraband.
What then?
This time you shall carry black ivory.
Black ivory?
To translate the jargon of a crass world, slaves.
Slaves? In this day and age?
There are still many markets, including countries which claim to be opposed to all forms of slavery.
Well, maybe so. But I'm not getting into a racket like that.
I think you are, Captain Marco. There is much Ajib Ben Zaman could arrange to have the port authorities learn about some of your past cargoes.
Well,
you will profit handsomely. My emissaries tell me of a Marwa tribe whose people are tall and handsome and strong. They will bring many pieces of gold.
Suppose I agree. How do you know I'll still be in port when you bring them back?
Because I'm taking you with me, Captain Marco. My men wait outside this hall now. One will carry a message back to your ship. A message wherein you command your crew to await your return when your business in the jungle is completed.
How do you know I won't spoil your game?
I have planned long for this. I have come many days' journey for this meeting in Port Said. Anyone who attempts to spoil my game will die. I care not if the infidel is a man of the sea or a creature of the jungle.
We will return to Tarzan in just a moment.
Sometimes when we're tired, we make mountains out of molehills. We putter around till even the easiest job seems impossible. Now, if you're that tired and pale besides, your doctor may find you have a borderline anemia, resulting from a ferronutritional blood deficiency. Then you need ironized yeast tablets. They help build up your strength by building up your red blood cells. So take ironized yeast tablets to get back your color, your vigor, your driving energy. Ironized yeast tablets.
The mournful whistle of the Cape to Cairo railroad engine sounded in the night, and aboard the train traveling from Port Said to Fashoda in the Sudan country were Captain Marco, Ajib Ben Zaman, and the cunning sheik's two fierce Bedouin followers, Kadur Ben Husum and Bader Ben Jafar, who sat in a corner saying nothing, but their hands remained on their cuses, and their narrow eyes seldom left their sheik and the infidel dog sea captain.
Why do they keep sitting there staring at me?
Perhaps they doubt your full enthusiasm for our plan.
Yeah, maybe they're right. four men going into the jungle to try to capture a whole tribe of huge savages.
When we leave the train at Fashoda, we will be met by my men. More than a double score of cunning shifters skilled in the art of taking slaves.
I see.
They will have with them camels and fleet Arabian horses, the tools of their trade, and the wherewithal for a comfortable menzil.
Menzil?
Encampment.
Oh.
Forgive me for forgetting that you are a cultured foreigner who knows not the crude language of Mohammed.
Yeah. Well, so these shifter guys catch the blacks. What then?
We return all the way to Port Said by caravan and load them directly into your ship.
And no one stops us or asks questions, huh?
No one questions the content of a closed packing case unless there are sounds of protest from within.
Yeah, that's just the point. You think those blacks aren't gonna scream murder?
For those that babble, there is always the heated iron that removes the tongue almost painlessly.
The weeks passed, but the moon had not yet come to its fullness, and Tarzan wrestled with the problem of breaking off with Velda without causing her hurt or making angry his brothers of the Marwa tribe. Already, one of them, Kalo, to whom Velda had been promised, looked upon Tarzan with unfriendly eyes. This day, Tarzan walked from the camp deep into the jungle. Following him at a little distance came Velda, and following her, stealthily, came Kalo.
I heard someone. Who follows me?
It is but your promised one, Velda.
You should not follow me, Velda. Especially not when I walk into the jungle.
Why does Tarzan wander away from the Marwa camp?
I am not used to being with people all the time, Velda. Perhaps I shall never learn.
When the moon comes full and we are married, then Tarzan be real son to my father. And then perhaps it will be easier in the mind.
I'm afraid not. Velda, how can I tell you? What words are there to explain that I can't marry you?
Tarzan would shame Velda before the tribe. He has claimed her in ceremonial wrestling match. And now he...
Hush! Shh! I hear someone. Though the wind is against us, I sense the coming of enemies.
I care not for enemies. If Tarzan will not have Velda, then she...
Be still, woman. Who comes?
I come.
Kalo.
What do you want, Kalo? Why do you follow me?
Tarzan take Kalo's woman, and against law of tribe, he steal into woods with her before nuptial feast.
I did not steal into the woods with her. I came for a walk. She followed to talk to me.
Kalo see Velda cry. Surely Tarzan bring dishonor to tribe. Marwa make mistake when he take Tarzan as son. Tarzan not true Marwa.
I am sorry, Kalo.
But Kalo change mistake of tribe. Cleanse name of Marwa tribe with Tarzan's blood.
Oh, no, Kalo, no!
Kalo's knife flashed high over his head and came down with terrific speed. But the sinewy hand of Tarzan caught Kalo's wrist, and the knife dropped to the ground. A moment later, Tarzan's knife clattered to the ground as he fell with Kalo on top of it. The men rolled over and over, locked in savage struggle. Velda turned her back and ran, right into the path of another spectator, Bolgani, the gorilla. Picking her up in his gargantuan arms, he hugged her to his hairy bosom and fled through the forest with her, as Tarzan and Kalo continued to struggle.
Wait! That's Velda!
Velda in trouble!
Help! Bolgani, take me away!
Come, Tarzan!
We're coming, Velda!
Behind those rocks, Kalo, see them!
No knife and no bow.
Could not shoot anyway. Hurt Velda.
Bolgani's putting her down. It's getting ready for us. Now!
Help him, Kalo! Help him!
No! Oh, Kalo, take Velda!
Take her! Run!
Come, Belda!
Oh, we cannot leave him. I won't.
What Tarzan say is true. I must take you and run. I carry you.
No, no, don't make me leave him. Don't leave Tarzan. Tarzan is in jail.
Now Belda and Kalo were forgotten as the two animals of the jungle, man and gorilla, fought for their lives. The gorilla's huge claws ripped into Tarzan's flesh. The leaves and the dirt were red with blood. Now Bolgani grasped Tarzan about the middle and began to squeeze with the enormous strength of his tremendous arms. Tarzan's breath left his body, and his mind began to cloud. And then suddenly Tarzan's powerful hands found the gorilla's bull-like neck. They closed around the huge throat, and they squeezed tighter and tighter. And at last, Bolgani's arms relaxed. The hideous jungle creature fell to the ground. Tarzan stumbled a few steps, and then he fell at the base of a great tree, exhausted. Only then did an interested group of spectators emerge from behind the large rocks and walk to the scene of the savage battle.
The savage is unconscious.
Yeah, did you ever see a fight like that, Bedouin?
No, Captain Marco. Never before have these eyes seen such a struggle.
The gorilla dead?
He has gone to his maker. Men, tie up the savage.
Tie him up? Can't you see that he's white under that bronze? We're not hunting for white men.
What we do with the Nazreni is to be decided by Sheikh Ajib Ben Zaman. He has a great reputation for wisdom and for his own particular brand of mercy.
We'll continue with our story after this message.
Yes, Jell-O is a grand, exciting treat, a perfect joy to look at, and when it comes to taste, well, there's simply nothing finer. Jell-O adds a glamorous touch to any meal. Gay, sprightly colors, rich, tantalizing flavor, all blended together in a bright, tangy dessert of enticing goodness. So tomorrow night, lend new delight to dinner with a clear, radiant mold of shimmering Jell-O in any one of Jell-O's six delicious flavors. The name Jell-O is a trademark, the property of General Foods. And when you buy, look for those big red letters on the box. That way, you can always be sure of getting the flavor that made Jell-O famous.
So you are Ben Zaman.
My subjects call me by that name, but I find your form of address and your manner exceedingly impertinent for a prisoner.
When I regained consciousness, I told your men I'd come willingly. But your subjects insisted on prodding me and keeping me tied up. Tarzan is not used to such treatment.
Tarzan? You are the famous Tarzan?
Some call me Lord of the Jungle.
Kador, why have you taken this man prisoner? Untie him at once.
I told him he was making a mistake.
You are wise, Captain Marco. Here, I'll cut the bonds myself.
Thank you, Ben Zaman. I was told you were a wise man and you live up to your reputation.
I apologize for what has transpired. You are my guest. Ibn, bring coffee and viands. Pray be seated, Tarzan. Captain Marco, Kador.
I shall sit with you, but I eat not the food of the Muslims. You will excuse me?
Can't say I blame you, son. Coffee, they call it. Full of cloves and cinnamon. So sweet it makes you sick. And the food, like some dive in Damascus.
I forgive your crude remarks, Captain Marco. And I excuse you from sitting with us.
Yeah, that's fine with me. Good luck to you, Tarzan.
Thank you, Captain Marco.
I cannot apologize enough for the indignities you suffered at the hands of my men, Tarzan. Perhaps you will permit me to repay you by offering you the hospitality of my humble menzil.
I am very tired. I will accept your kind offer.
Hayat! Show Tarzan to a bayit containing a soft mat on which to sleep, and see that he has every comfort. May Allah grant you sweet dreams, Tarzan.
You are most kind. I shall see you when the sun is in the heaven.
I hesitate to question you, my sheik, but your actions furrow my brow with questions.
Fool, have you never before heard of Tarzan?
No.
Many times in the past has he thwarted the plans of slave raiders.
And yet you treat him like a friend. We had him tied, helpless, and you...
Had we plunged a Cusa into him while he was bound, every native and every beast in the jungle would have united against us.
Yes?
But instead we shall treat him as a dear friend. We shall persuade him to remain for a few days. By tomorrow night, any doubts he may have had about us will have vanished. We shall be filled with sorrow when he is discovered dead the next morning.
But you said...
We shall find Captain Marco, the Nasrani, guilty of the murder. And we shall shoot him for his foul deed. That way we can cause no enmity. And with Tarzan out of the way, our hunt for Black Ivory will be simple.
But won't we need Marco?
When we return to Port Said, we shall commandeer his ship. In that way, we need not pay the dear captain his share of the loot. Who comes?
It is Kador, my sheik. I bring a native who tried to steal by the sentry.
Oh-ho! He looks like a healthy young buck.
Very strong and healthy, Buona. Only me not steal past sentries. Me come to see great sheik need work.
A native looking for work?
Me outlaw from tribe. Much strong. Do work good.
Huela, there is much work to be done about the Menzil, and the shifters have little heart for it. What can you do?
Care for camels and horses, hunt game, cook for sheik.
All right. You can sleep with the animals, and we'll pay you what you're worth.
Me thank, Buona.
What name do you call yourself?
Name is Kalo.
Who steals into my tent while I sleep?
Hush, Tarzan. It is Kalo.
Kalo? How did you get here? Did they capture you?
No. Kalo come to free Tarzan. But you are not bound. We sneak from camp now.
Not yet. Do you know what these men are, Kalo?
Kalo knows. The sign's plain.
They fooled me for a little while. But when they thought I'd fallen asleep, I slipped out. I found a wagon full of wrist locks and leg irons. We can't leave until we force them to quit the jungle. But we'll need help.
Kalo have plan. Get help with jungle drum. Send message to all of Marwa tribe when camp sleeps.
But suppose they find you here?
Arabs know Kalo here. Work for Arab as hunter and cook. Part of plan. In morning, Tarzan must pretend he not know Kalo. Leave now.
Just a minute. Why did you come to save me, Kalo?
Sorry for fight. Kalo did wrong. Tarzan brave Marwa.
That night, Kalo's drum sounded in the jungle, and from far off came the answer. The mighty Marwa tribe would send their fiercest Waziri to fight the slave raiders, and they would follow the plan told them by the drums. The next day, the plan was whispered to Tarzan, and by the time the Arabs had gathered for their evening meal that night, the jungle that skirted the Menzil was alive with native warriors. They awaited the signal from the peaceful-looking bayit of the sheik.
Bring us our evening meal. Pray be seated, Tarzan. Captain Marco, Kador, Eben, the rest of you. My nose is assailed with a delicious odor.
Kalo the Black has provided us with a rare treat. He has hunted in the woods all day and has returned to cook the fruits of the hunt.
Approach with the repast, Kalo.
Kalo, bring food. Meat much heavy.
The entire animal turned on a spit. You are a rare jewel, Kalo.
Meat is wapi, the antelope. Taste fine, only too much for few men. And Kalo have more meat to bring in. Call rest of men.
That is a noble thought, Kalo. But all are present save for the sentries.
Kalo in woods all day. No enemies near camp.
He tells the truth. Our men comb the forest. No natives.
If Gomangani were near, Tarzan would have caught the scent.
Well, all right. Let the others come in. They've been restless, and a good meal may help. Summon them, Kedar. Now then, the food.
Well, looks like good seafaring grub for a change.
One must admit the jungle furnishes fine food for those who know how to capture it, Tarzan.
The jungle holds no mysteries for those who are part of it. But for those who would destroy it, there is much danger.
A month I've waited for a decent meal.
Ah, here are the others. Enter, men. Partake plentifully of the meat. Kalo, more food.
Let Kalo bring. Here is fine roast animal
with an aroma like rich perfume.
Oh, this is something like eating.
This meat Captain Marco asked for.
Huh?
This Horta, the boar.
A boar? Oh.
The greatest of insults, bringing the flesh of a swine to the table of an Arab. And you ordered it, Captain Marco?
I swear I...
Taunting us about our coffee and our food, and then this insult. No man can insult the faith of Ajib Ben Zaman.
Look, I never...
You sneaking infidel, dog!
You can't slap me, you
the
rat!
The Ajib is reaching for his gun!
And as the Arab sheik fell, pandemonium broke loose. Kedar dropped. Marco fell with a accuser in his heart. And as the confusion mounted, a horde of fierce Waziri flooded into the tent, wielding wicked knives left and right. And Kalo and Tarzan led the battle until no Arab remained in the menzil of Ajib Ben Zaman.
The full moon has come, people of Marwa tribe, and we are met for the marriage of Tarzan and Velda. Are you ready for this marriage, my daughter?
Yes, my father.
Are you ready for this marriage, Tarzan?
Great chief, members of the Marwa tribe, before I came to your village, Velda was the promised one of Kalo. I won her from him through a wrestling match that was meant to prove me braver than he. But since then, many things have happened. I was caught by the Tamangani, and I was forced to go to their camp. But the brave Kalo came willingly into the camp of the enemy to save my life and to save all Marwas from slavery. He has proven himself bravest, and I cannot claim Velda for my bride.
You have spoken true, my son, and I decide. Velda, would you take Kalo as husband?
Kalo and Velda promised since childhood. Velda take Kalo with happiness.
Kalo, would you take Velda as wife?
Kalo embraces Velda as wife, and Tarzan as greatest of Marwat tribe.
So be it. Let nuptial feast begin.
In our next story, we relate the experience of Tarzan and the Hooded Death. Nowhere in the jungle is a danger so great as the one to be feared from the Hooded Death. Elephants and lions and tigers shrink from its approach. Savages scream at the mention of its dread name. And you too will feel the chill of terror in the story we relate.
Tarzan, a transcribed creation of the famous Edgar Rice Burroughs, is produced by Walter White, Jr., prepared for radio by Bud Lesser, with original music by Albert Glasser. This is a Commodore production.
You are listening to the Golden Age of Radio on WMKY with a broadcast from January 11th, 1951, featuring Tarzan and the Black Ivory. Stay tuned for more classic old-time radio from the 1930s through the 1950s. When the Golden Age of Radio continues, I'm Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY at 90.3 FM. Welcome back to the Golden Age of Radio on WMKY at 90.3 FM. A broadcast from 1948, they're planning a charity ball on this episode of My Friend Irma on the Golden Age of Radio.
Lever Brothers Company presents the Pepsodent Show, My Friend Irma, created by Cy Howard and starring Marie Wilson as Irma with Joan Banks as Jane.
Friendship, friendship, that's got the perfect friendship when other friendships have been forgotten.
Paper?
Oh, nothing much.
Oh, look, isn't that Mrs. Viamander's picture on the society page?
Where?
Right there.
Oh, yes, so it is. Let's see. The annual masquerade ball to raise funds for the orphan children will be held tomorrow night at the Long Island estate of Mrs. Richard Rhinelander II. This marks the first time that Mrs. Rhinelander will supervise the affair.
Jane.
What is it, sweetie?
Did you know about this wonderful affair?
Why, yes.
And of course, you're going.
Yes, Richard's invited me. Why?
Oh, nothing. I'll find something to do.
What's that?
Nothing, nothing at all. I'll just sit home with a deck of cards and play some solitude.
That's solitaire. Look, honey, I'm not going to have you stand there pouting. You must realize the tickets cost $100 apiece.
$100? Oh, it's nothing. Why, I could even get my Al to take me if I had $200.
Come in.
It's only me, Professor Kravatsky. Hello, Janie and Irma, my two little sailboats. One trim, the other lost in a fog.
Why, Professor?
Oh, excuse. Irma, I just noticed, why are you standing there looking so sad?
Oh, Richard's mother's giving a wonderful charity ball and... Jane won't take me.
Now, for goodness sake, Irma, stop making a heavy out of me. I have nothing to say about the invitation.
But you have influence with Richard. When a girl goes with a fellow, she can get him to do anything she wants him to.
Oh, is that so?
Yes, I have Al eating out of my hand.
That's only because it's for nothing.
No, please, girls, don't argue. Irma, resign yourself. We are not invited, so we are not invited. Although, personally, I would love to help make that affair a success, because it's for charity. Little orphans, bless them. The little puppies of humanity.
Hello. Oh, yes, Al. Just a minute. I'll get her. Irma, it's for you.
Hello, Al. Where are you?
Down at the unemployment office.
What, Al? You need a lawyer? Well, why? Oh, they want you to take a job? Well, I don't see how they can make you go to work, honey. This is a free country. Oh, they say you've been getting it free long enough. Well, come over here, honey, and we'll talk about it. Goodbye.
Oh, that Al. You've got to hand it to him. You've got to hand it to him because he won't work for it. Right, Janie.
Look, oh, I'm sorry, Professor. I was lost in my thoughts about what costume I should wear at the ball. Come in.
Hello, girl.
Oh, hello, Mrs. O'Reilly. Well, look at your hair.
Yes, I'm wearing the new short bob.
How does it look?
For a minute, I thought your head got caught in the electric fan.
Oh, hush up with you. Janie, darling, do you like it?
Oh, I love it. It looks so neat and so clean.
Yes, I always felt my face was covered up too much.
That is a matter of opinion.
No one asked you. Irma, darling, how do you like my hair? Irma, is something wrong?
Oh, Jane's going to Mrs. Rylander's charity ball, and I'll be all alone.
Irma, we've been all through that.
Oh, Janie, how I envy you. Mrs. Rylander's such a lovely woman, and I know it must be a worthy cause.
Oh, it is. And the ball is being held in the Rylander estate in Long Island. See, I just start shaking when I think of walking into that mansion. Imagine, 68 rooms and 40 baths.
40 baths? Well, now I know why they call him the filthy rich.
Oh, Janie, darling, you're so lucky. I remember my first masquerade ball. I was a girl in Ireland, and at midnight I met a handsome young man. He took off my slipper and started pouring champagne into it. It held 2 quarts. The bottle, that is. And he insisted on drinking a toast to me beauty. Pretty soon we were both a little, shall I say, high.
If you feel it, say it.
Yes, and just as he was telling me how beautiful I was, some wise alec came along and gave him a Broma seltzer. It sobered him up, and I never saw him again. My, how the years fly.
Yes, and it's too bad. While they were flying, they had to drag you along the ground. Hiya, chickens.
Hello, Al, honey.
Well, what's the convention?
Oh, gosh, we're all talking about Mrs. Rylander's charity masquerade tomorrow night.
Oh, yeah, saw the old gal's picture in the newspaper. Great Dane, that Mrs. Rylander.
Well, we could go to the ball if we had $100.
Chicken, nothing would give me greater pleasure than to help them kids. May be able to do so if my new deal comes through.
Another deal, Al? What is it this time? Stretching the ears of cats and selling them for rabbits?
Now, this one is money in the bank. It's a coat lining designed like a deck of cards. So if you're caught with an ace up your sleeve, you can always say your lining ripped.
Oh, brother. Come in.
Hello, Jane. Company.
Yes, Richard. You know everybody.
Yes, indeed.
Rich, we all want to tell you how proud we are of the work your mother is doing. For the orphan.
Thank you. You see, mother just loves children.
Oh, so do I. When Al and I get married, we're going to have lots of children. You know, they say children are man's wealth, and I'm going to make Al a millionaire.
Enough, Irma. Richard, is everything set for tomorrow?
Yes, yes, but Mother's a little worried.
Why?
Well, aside from the fact that the money is desperately needed, Mother wants terribly much to put this affair over. You see, last year, Mrs. Van Clive was in charge of the ball, and she raised $50,000.
Uh-huh.
Well, naturally, Mother would like to get more because it all goes to charity, and besides, she can't tolerate Mrs. Van Clive.
Oh.
You see, she's been bragging all over town that Mother can never hope to equal her record, and Mother's determined to do it.
Wish one of my deals had come through. Could pitch in.
Al, by the time your deals come through, those orphans will be old enough to take care of themselves and their grandchildren. Well, Richard, I'm sure your mother's party will make more money than Mrs. Van Clive.
I hope so. See you all at the masquerade tomorrow.
Oh?
Well, certainly. You're all coming, aren't you?
Like to be there, Richard, but you know it's, the fiscal year. I don't want to fisk out on the boy.
I would like to be there too, Richard, and believe me, it's not pneumonia, but, tomorrow is my birthday, and I'll be $100 old. I mean,
I would come too, Mr. Rylander, but, well, you see, I...
Oh, hold it, everybody. Jane, didn't you give them their tickets?
Tickets? Richard, you didn't give me any tickets.
Oh, what's the matter with me? I've been carrying this envelope for days. Here's a ticket for each of you.
Let me see, Richard. Admission, $100. With stamp paid.
That's right. Think you can make it now, Al?
Well, it is a fiscal year, but by an odd coincidence, it's also leap year. So I think I'm in a position to leap the fiscal and come to the master.
And how about you, Professor? Why don't you escort Mrs. O'Reilly?
Well, I might do it, since it's for charity. She's going to be disguised anyway.
And here's your ticket, Irma.
Oh, let Al hold it. He always likes to treat me. Richard, this is so sweet of you.
Forget it. Well, think I'll be getting back to Mother. I want to see how close she is to that $50,000 gold.
Well, wait a minute, Richard. I'll walk with you. I've got to see about getting a costume. And you kids better get busy, too.
Oh, we'll think of something.
So long, everybody. See you tomorrow night.
Bye-bye. How do you like that guy? Shelling out $400 so we can have a good time at his mother's party.
Oh, I hope for her sake it's a big success.
Yes, Richard's worried about whether his mother can raise $50,000.
Must be a way we can make certain she does.
What do you mean, must be a way?
Well, there are many ways of raising money. Now, for instance, years ago, there was a little boy used to wake up his aunt by bringing a mouse in her room. His aunt would scream and give him a quarter to take it away. He did this every day. And years later, this was to become known in financial circles as getting the ante up.
Look, Al, let us not meddle in this thing.
Yes, let's not ruin the affair.
Okay. And speaking of ruins, I think I'll go back to that wreckage I call my room.
I'll go along with you, Professor. I better get started on this costume right away.
All right, Mrs. O'Reilly. And remember, when you're finished, if I recognize you, I don't take you.
Time to get a costume. What shall we wear?
Oh, I don't know. I was thinking I might go as Robert E. Lee.
Nothing doing, Al. I don't want to spend a whole evening dancing with a steamboat.
Well, I have my costume on, and I think it's rather effective. I am going as Marie Antoinette. Irma couldn't understand why I spent so much time fixing my hair, since I was going to have my head cut off anyway. I went through before Al and Irma decided what costume to wear, you will never know. First, there was Al, who said,
Jane, you know, think I'll go as Jesse James.
Nothing doing, Al. You've got to wear a costume.
Right, Jane.
And then there was Irma, who kept saying,
gee, I don't know what to wear.
So I said, Irma, why don't you wear that green costume you wore last year? You know, when you went as a tree? And Irma said,
no, someone's liable to come as George Washington and chop me down.
All my patience could take, so I said, Irma, you'll just have to make your own decisions. And Irma said,
oh, I know what. I'll wear that kitty outfit that I wore on Halloween last year, huh?
So the kitty costume was agreed upon, and I must say, Irma looks adorable with her two blonde braids tied in pink ribbons. If it wasn't for her figure, she could pass for six. Yes, a little schoolgirl to perfection, and I'm sure with those legs, none of the boys would ever play hooky. As for Al, Al has found the most ingenious disguise I have ever seen. He has cut a square hole in the front of his shirt so his tattoo will show, and he's coming as a television set. Oh, Mother, this is going to be a night to remember. Al.
Yeah, Jane?
Now, it was very nice of Richard to buy these tickets for us, and all of us must be on our very best behavior. Now, there'll be a number of rich people there, and I'd appreciate it very much if you would not try to sell them any of your real estate lots.
Why not?
Well, you see, most of them have their yachts floating right over your property.
So, what about oil wells?
No, Al. Why is it everything you deal in either has water over it or under it?
Look, Jane, don't worry. This is for the orphan. And I give you my word you'll be proud of me.
No, that's good enough for me. Come in.
Hello, gang. Say, Jane, you look terrific.
Oh, thanks, Richard.
And Irma. Well, you're so cute, I feel like putting you on my lap and telling you a bedtime story.
Gee, kids have all the fun.
Well, Richard, tell me, does it look as if your mother will reach that $50,000 quota?
Frankly, no, Jane. It looks pretty bad. What with the flu and the weather, we'll be lucky to reach $40,000. And Mother feels so badly about it.
I suppose that Mrs. Van Clive will never stop gloating.
Well, you know, she's like that. In Mother's words, Mrs. Van Clive is an old...
Watch your language. There's a little girl here.
Sorry, little girl.
Well, Richard, isn't there any way we could raise more money at the party?
Well, once we charge $100 admission, I don't know what else we can do. Maybe we'll think of something at the house. Where's the rest of the gang?
Oh, the professor and Mrs. O'Reilly are putting on their costumes. Why don't you and Jane run along? We'll meet you.
I'd like that. Mother's so depressed, I'd like to be with her. Come on, Jane.
Okay.
See you later, kid.
Why do you look so sad, Al?
Burns me up, chicken. For an affair to help orphans, they can't get up enough dough. And on top of that, a swell gal like Mrs. Reinhardt is going to be ridiculed by that Van Clive day.
Well, what can we do about it?
Got to see that the dough is raked. And there's only one man who can help us.
Who, Al?
Who else but... Hello, Jill. Al, got a problem. Gonna mingle with the rich tonight. How do I get money from them? What? No, Joe, it's got to be with their permission. Yeah, this isn't for charity. Orphans. Well, you don't say, Joe. You were an orphan yourself, huh? Well, what happened to your parents? Oh, an accident. They died while listening to chamber music? Oh, gas chamber music. Well, Joe, then you know what it means to help these kids. Yeah, how do I get them to shell out? Great idea, Joe. Thanks a million. Goodbye, noble friend. Chicken, for once, Joe has come through.
Come in.
Hello, little girl. Is your mother... Oh, it's Irma. Oh, Irma, you look like a little doll.
Well, thank you. Do you think I can pass for six?
Sure, just be yourself. How do you like my costume, Al?
Well, what are you supposed to be?
Can't you guess?
I know. A rag picker.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Professor, where'd you get all that miserable, dirty old rag?
Well, yesterday, Mrs. O'Reilly gave me new drapes for my window.
Oh. I see. You're wearing the old drapes.
No, Al, the new drapes.
Well, wait, Mrs. O'Reilly.
Oh, don't mention her. She's furious. Oh, there she's gone.
Come in, Mrs. O'Reilly. Hello, everybody.
Hey, Mrs. O'Reilly, what a swell get-up. With that broom and that hair over your eyes, you're a perfect witch.
Thank you, Al. And as for you, Professor Kropotkin...
No, take it easy, Mrs. O'Reilly.
What's wrong? He insulted me. That's what he did.
What'd he say?
I didn't say anything.
Oh, no. I spend hours getting this witch's costume on. And then when he sees me, he says, it's getting late. Why don't you put on a costume?
Look, got no time for personal grudges. Mrs. Reinhardt is in trouble, and we've got to come to the rescue.
She hasn't raised enough money.
No, 10 G's short of what Mrs. Van Clive did last year.
Oh, glory be, and all those poor orphans in such need. What can we do to help, Al?
Got just the idea that we'll put this party across. Where do you find the biggest crowds spending money?
At Coney Island.
Right. Now, here's what we do. We go to the...
Rhinelander. Charming ball.
Thank you, Mrs. Van Clive. Are you having fun?
Yes. Wonderful idea of yours to have this intimate gathering instead of that tremendous turnout I had at my charity ball last year.
Really?
Yes. Of course, you won't make nearly enough to take care of the poor little children. But perhaps next year the committee will realize their mistake and put me in charge of the ball again.
You're so nice.
Well... I'll try to amuse myself. Where could I get a Manhattan? I'm so thirsty.
Right over there at the bar. And you won't need any bitters in your Manhattan. Just smiley.
Oh, you're so clever, Mrs. Rhinelander. Well, you probably think of something amusing to tell the kiddies when they're told they have to sleep eight in a bed because you couldn't raise the money.
Hello, Mother.
Oh, Richard. And Jane, you look lovely, dear.
Thank you.
What's the matter, Mother? You're shaking.
Oh, I've just had a word with Mrs. Van Clive, my well-wisher. Oh, Richard, perhaps I've been a fool. Maybe I shouldn't have undertaken the responsibility of the ball.
Well, Mother, you did your best. Jane, do you mind if I have this dance with my mother?
I think it would be wonderful, Richard.
Come on, Mother. Get your mind off Mrs. Van Clive. This should be a nice waltz coming up.
Oh, I'd give anything to put this party across.
Hey! The program says a waltz, but they're playing a conga.
They're forming a conga line. They're all following the leader.
The leader? That's Al.
Where is he taking them? Oh, my goodness, he's breaking up my party.
Mrs. Rhinelander, I don't know how to apologize.
Oh, he's taking them all into the library. What's he up to?
I'm afraid to look. But I had to look, and I still can't believe my eyes. In front of me is Coney Island. Yes. Al, Irma, the professor, and Mrs. O'Reilly have turned the library into a miniature midway. Al is working the shell game. Now, I know the man. I know the man who's trying to guess under what shell the pea is. Last year, this man was in Who's Who. 10 more minutes with Al in the shell game, and this man will be listed in the 50 neediest cases. Al is speaking.
That will be $10 more you have lost to me, friend. And I sort of resent your remark that this seems like a dishonest game. Let's try something else. Take a card. There, that's fine. Let me see. Oh, king. Now, only an ace can beat that. I shall draw. How do you like that? It's an ace.
I just can't understand it. I never seem to win.
Oh, Al.
Yeah, chicken?
You better sweep up. A lot of aces are falling out of your coat.
Hold it, chicken. Mister, this young lady is just joking. She knows I run an honest game, don't I? Miss.
Well, Al, I thought you were just going to be the barber here.
The barber?
Yeah, he told me he's going to clip everyone who came in.
Come on, chicken.
Al, why are you dragging me?
The gentleman may misunderstand, and I want to give this dough to Mrs. Langman.
Well, look at the professor. Hello, Professor.
10 bucks now, Emma. Here comes another customer.
Pardon me. Do you tell Hawkins?
Oh, certainly. Your name, madam?
Mrs. Van Clive.
Uh-huh. I see. Let me see your palm, please. Oh-ho. I see a sparkling future. Happiness, gaiety, laughter. And then you get hit by a truck.
Oh, my goodness.
You are swinging between life and death. Only one doctor can save you.
What's his name?
A professional seeker. It cost you $50 to find out.
But here's the $50. What's his name?
Who do you go to now?
Dr. Jones.
He's a good man. Keep going till next time.
As if that's not enough, over in the right-hand corner are two booths. One is marked Lemonade, $1. The other, Kisses, $5 apiece. But they're not doing any business. Oh, no wonder. Al has made a mistake. He's got Irma selling lemonade and Mrs. O'Reilly selling kisses. Well, I'm getting out of here so fast, the super chief will look like it's backing up.
Jane, where are you going?
Oh, Richard, I'm so mortified. I want to get out of here before your mother throws us all out.
Throws you out? Why, Jane, mother's in heaven. Al and his friends have already turned in enough money to more than pass our quota, and the guests are having so much fun they insist mother hold the ball next year.
You mean that, Richard?
Sure, Jane. Come on, let's congratulate Al. Oh, Al?
Yeah?
Al, on behalf of my mother...
You don't have to say anything. We're doing it for a swell lady and a bunch of wonderful kids.
Oh, Al, Al.
They get it.
But one thing still bothers me. Irma, what were you doing in the lemonade booth? Weren't you supposed to sell kisses?
Yes, but Al said get over there in that booth and pucker up, and lemons make me pucker.
Well, lemons are grapefruit. What can I say except that there's never been a sweeter kid than my friend Irma.
The Golden Age of Radio on WMKY, a broadcast from October 11th, 1948. My Friend Irma, with the episode entitled The Rhinelander Charity Ball. This has been the Golden Age of Radio, classic old-time radio programs from the 1930s through the 1950s. Material for this program provided by the Internet Archive, an online nonprofit library of books, movies, music, and old-time radio shows, on the web at archive.org. Tune in again for the Golden Age of Radio next week at the same time and channel on WMKY at 90.3 FM and online at WMKY.org.